Tomorrow is a strange day in our American culture, Labor Day. On this day, dedicated to the social and economic achievements of the worker, many of us will spend the day doing anything but working. And on the flip side, many of those blue-collar workers for whom the day was created will find themselves, out of necessity, at work. Created by the labor movement in the 1880s as a holiday for workers and their families, Labor Day was designed to honor the people who contribute to our well-being just by showing up and doing a good job at work. And at the same time, to promote justice for those who are not being treated with the dignity we all deserve. It's not an official church celebration, but maybe it should be. It's remarkably Sabbath-like in its intent. Besides, we're not just God's children on Sunday. If God worked 6 days out of seven on creation, then surely God honors what we do Monday to Saturday. Our work lives matter to God because we matter to God. We are what we do to some extent, or are we? Today's scriptures assume a radically different economy than the one we're used to. Looking at today's passage from Hebrews, productivity seems to be the last thing on the author's mind. The most relevant advice seems to be this: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Personally, I'm not sure that I would call our relationship with money love. It's more like hostile dependency. In our society, we need it. We need it like we need water. And when we have it, we tend to take it for granted. And when we don't, we need it. Our need for it can feel a lot like thirst, and we act accordingly. Perhaps the point is this: while what we do matters to God, our worth is not equal to it. Nor is our worth measured by appearances. According to Hebrews, strangers in our midst might just be angels. We're to remember those in prison and those being tortured as though we were in their place. The text here is directly intertwining our fates with those who cannot possibly be measured by their earning potential. Our worth is somehow bound up in their worth. In the eyes of the gospel, anyway, we're worth what they're worth. And also lifted up are those perhaps most directly affected by our work lives, our spouses. It's amazing how fragile relationships become when our work lives are skewed, when we're either working too much or not enough. Living as a Christian, we're told, means upholding marriage, not just the long-term marriages we are celebrating today, but in what we demand of ourselves at work, and in what we ask of others. So how do we manage this miraculous balancing act when so little of it feels under our control? How do we value what we do without letting it mean too much? The following mantra is recommended: the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? You can try repeating it with me if you like. The Lord is my helper. What can anyone do to me? You got it all? Let's try it again. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? By all means, do whatever works for you, but I'm not sure that I can think of a better way to get through my day. Then there are those lifted up in today's gospel, those who are poor, crippled, blind, lame, those who may not wish to be made so visible in this way. Their everyday needs make their reliance on others obvious enough. Why does Jesus shine the spotlight on them? And what's with the apparent assumption that they have nothing to give? Jesus knows better. Here, the point seems to be, don't give with any expectation of return. Invite to your party those who cannot necessarily repay in kind. Invite those whose needs, whose thirsts remind you of yours. Excuse me, some might say, but what's the point of working so hard then? If our worth is not dependent on how self-sufficient we are, then what exactly does it depend on? Today's passage from Jeremiah gives us a hint, once we wade through some misleading language first. In indicting Israel for its infidelity to the Lord, the prophet Jeremiah offers these words. What wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? I'm sorry, but that cannot be right. No one is worthless in God's eyes. I mean, look at what God did for them. They couldn't have been worthless, or God would not have wasted the time. The Lord brought them up out of slavery, led them to a land of promise, and for what? Did they ask too many questions once they got there? No. Questions, even doubt, would have been welcome. The problem is that they didn't ask, where is God? Instead of depending on God to be their source, their fountain of worth, they insisted on digging their own cisterns, on providing their own water, on living off their own strength. Note that there is no shame in needing water. It's just that there are more and less helpful ways of getting it. And compared to a fountain of living water, let's face it, a cracked cistern is less effective. It fills with stagnant water that leaks out and ultimately disappears. And more importantly, in the end, it doesn't quench our very real thirst. That's what happens, I think, when we focus too much on our own efforts and strength, when we equate who we are with what we do. We don't know how to leave room for God to move through our brokenness, to lead us through those places that we would never choose to go. We can end up forsaking water in the desert because we didn't collect it ourselves, because we thought we had to earn it first. Dying of thirst when all the while we could be drinking living water. We are worth far more than that. We are each and every one of us created in the image of God. Jesus lived, died, and rose for every one of us. The Spirit of God lives in every single one of us in pricelessly unique ways. In other words, the fountain of living water is already within us, inside us, and all before we got out of bed this morning. Before we had a thought of doing anything productive. So, how do we celebrate Labor Day, this secular Sabbath, in our work-obsessed culture? How do we find our fountain of worth and recognize it in others? Well, here are a few suggestions that I invite you to consider in the silence that follows. One, enjoy your Sabbath time. Whenever and wherever you find it, spend time with your spouse, with your loved ones. Let yourself enjoy it. And then, honor other people's family lives by knowing when not to ask more of them. Two, show hospitality to a stranger. Invite someone you don't know very well to your Labor Day picnic. Give freely, without expectation of return, but don't make easy assumptions about who can give and who can't. Be open to the embodied grace of God standing in front of you and the gifts that only they can bring. Next, remember those who are in prison or being tortured as though you yourselves were with them. Remember that in the eyes of the gospel, we're worth what they're worth. Ask God the tough questions that you have been afraid to ask until now, and yeah, keep asking. And if you do nothing else, pay attention to the people you see working tomorrow. Thank them. And then finally, when you wake up on Tuesday morning, I recommend the following mantra. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Repeat as needed. Amen.